Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 30th day of August, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. Let's start off our look at what's going on around the nation and the world today with some news that will surprise no one, if you're paying attention anyway, out of one of the most satanic of all the high-tech socialist media giants, Google, or as the proper pronunciation goes, Gulag, which, says a new report from the Media Research Center, is suppressing. Who could have thought it? All of the 2024 campaign websites, at least of all serious, actual challengers to the senile communist Chinese puppet that pretends to be running to steal the office all over again. And the only serious Democrat as well. If you use that so-called search engine, and you know you shouldn't, but it's hard to avoid, and try the words presidential campaign websites, you're arguably not going to get what you asked for. Says the survey, Gulag returned search results that didn't include a single Republican candidate on the first page the day before the first Republican primary debate of the 2024 season. And that includes former president and by far frontrunner Donald Trump, who, even in the most leftist polls, is still said to be at least neck and neck with the Biden Fuhrer. In any honest poll, he's trouncing him hopelessly. But the media watchdog observed that not even presidential challenger Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the chief threat to the Biden Fuhrer campaign from within his supposedly own party, appeared in the results at all, even though a recent poll had him at least 20% in a head-to-head matchup with the senile guy, or at least his body double. Indeed, the stories note, and by the way, your host confirmed most of this, folks, and I've got a couple of other observations to add in a second. The only non-Biden Democrat to appear on the entire front page was Marianne Williamson, who? A so-called lifestyle guru who's never even polled above the low single digits. And actually, folks, when I did the search, her website showed up more than once, with still not a single Republican to be found. Except for the one I'll mention in just a second, several pages down. Now, what I thought was interesting was, when I did a similar search using a meta engine that actually employed Gulag, among others, the top-ranking Republican that I finally saw, and it was several pages down in their results, was, are you ready for this? Bob Dole. And the headline said, yes, you can still visit Bob Dole's 1996 campaign website. I guess the trouble is you can't visit any of Donald Trump's websites, or anybody else for that matter, except those that they want to spoon feed you. If you scroll down far enough, eventually I found Trump's name mentioned. And by the way, it was from far left Axios. And I think the only reason it showed up was because Biden was also in the title. The headline says, Trump trounces Biden in campaign site traffic by a factor of four times, it turns out. And what did they say? Yeah, thanks to far-right outlets. And that's, folks, as opposed to far-left outlets that don't want you to see the results at all. Oh, yeah, and while we're on the subject, here's another no-brainer and another not surprise. A recent poll conducted by Ipsos, surveying Americans from the general population and the population of those who have served on juries in the U.S. over the past 10 years, trying to identify their attitudes about the so-called criminal justice system, found that a majority of Americans, more than 7 in 10, don't believe that President Donald Trump can even remotely get an impartial jury in his ongoing legal battles with the Banana Republic deep state. Holy moly, tell me it isn't so. But it does beg the question, what's wrong with the other 29%? Oh, yeah, and don't forget, folks, this poll was actually conducted in the United States, not the areas where the former and elected president is actually going to be, tried. And if you think about it, where the jury is more likely to lynch him than acquit him, regardless of the charges. Here's a headline from No Longer Great Britain, where the appropriate category is, how stupid do they really think we are? Answer, you know it, very. Britain's so-called Climate Change Committee, or CCC, has now come right out and done it, urging millions of Britons to not heat their homes in the evening coming up this cold season because the government needs to hit its net zero target. No, they're not urging the elites, though, to ditch their private jets for commercial flights or to burn 1,000 gallons of fuel taking the yacht out for a brief jaunt in the channel. Chris Stark, head of the CCC, wants the ordinary peons out there, they call them subjects of the crown, on the other side of the pond, to turn off their electric heaters, even if they're heat pumps, at night, as part of the wider drive to, quote, deliver emissions savings, which also includes a shift away from gas boilers, which, the story notes, hypocrite Chris Stark still has. Zero Hedge's summary, though, does quote Andrew Montford, director of Net Zero Watch, who told the Telegraph over there that, quote, the grid is already creaking, and daft ideas like this show just how much worse it will become. It's clear, he said, that renewables are a disaster in the making. We now need political leaders with the courage to admit it, unquote. Meanwhile, Tory member of parliament, Craig McKinley, told the head of his party's net zero scrutiny group, it's becoming clear that adherence to judiciable carbon budgets and edicts coming from the CCC are developing into farce. And it sounds like he's turned down at least one glass of the Kool-Aid. The Climate Change Act of 2008, he said, will require amendment to free us from madcap and impractical ideas foisted upon the population by long-departed politicians. This latest advice to freeze ourselves on cold evenings merely shows the truth that the dream of plentiful and cheap renewable energy is a sham. I came into politics, he added, to improve all aspects of my constituents' lives, not make them colder and poorer, he told the Telegraph. As to his hypocrisy, the asinine Climate Change Committee's Chris Stark also said, quote, I have a gas boiler, I wish I didn't, but I live in a flat, and heat pumps are a very difficult thing to put in there, he said. The gas boiler guy who comes around and fixes my gas boiler, it breaks very often, tells me they'll never work. So, says Zero Hedge, obviously you need to do as Chris says. Not as Chris does. And that pretty well nails Great Reset hypocrisy in a nutshell. But hey, folks, when it comes to hypocrisy, sometimes you got to go right to the horse's mouth. Hitlery herself, where Colin Leinberger and the Gateway Pundit report that she has issued yet another clueless tweet pushing gun control, following the latest example of how well it doesn't work at the gun-free University of North Carolina, where a communist Chinese student from, amazing coincidence, Wuhan, was charged with first-degree murder after killing a college professor. And he was also charged with the crime of having a gun on university property. So Hillary Clinton decided to come out of the swamp and reemerge with some canned idiotic thoughts on the matter, and doing a little grave dancing, pushing an anti-constitutional gun control agenda on deplorables out there in flyover country, some of whom still understand what the word shall not be infringed once meant. Here's how she put it, quote, kids deserve to go to school free of gun violence. Teachers deserve to give lessons free of gun violence. Shoppers deserve to buy groceries free of gun violence. And so on and on and on, ad nauseum. What's interesting, of course, is Dana Loesch came right out and said, hey, you idiot, quote, guns have been banned on school property for 30 years. You maybe should ought to know that, because it happened about the time of the first Clinton regime. But this was the tweet that I think pretty well nails it. Said one PO'd observer of what we've seen before and are continuing to see again, your body count trumps all of that. Oh, yeah, and added another, remember Libya?
As we came, we saw, he died.
Which leads me to some bad news that's almost good news. There's a 12-year-old public cesspool kid in Colorado that clearly knows more than the ignoramuses masquerading as teachers. And even the British Daily Mail, ironically on the wrong side of the Revolutionary War, managed to get this one right. An administrator with the Vanguard School, says the piece, was shown in a video talking with 12-year-old Jaden and his mother, claiming that the Gadsden flag had origins with slavery. And the staffer claimed that the patch that the 12-year-old had on his backpack was, quote, disruptive to the classroom environment, where the intent is obviously to teach propaganda as opposed to allowing kids to learn how to think. Because you know a rainbow flag would have been just fine, don't you? And the 12-year-old was told that his patch, which actual students of American history should know, has a rattlesnake above the words, don't tread on me, emblazoned on a yellow background, was against the district's policy. And he was not allowed to go back to class sick without removing it. But this morning, the Gateway Pundit has a follow-up. Evidently, folks, ridicule can have a very real effect. After reminding us that the Gadsden flag originated on a warship in 1775 as a battle cry for American independence from British rule and became a flag for America during their fight for freedom, TGP tells us that the now viral video resulted in 12-year-old Jaden, last name withheld, being allowed back into the classroom by the school board of directors in Colorado Springs, which voted to suggest that the Don't Tread on Me patch might be okay after all. I guess, folks, at least until they get another generation of dumbed down kids out there making the rules. But, says TGP, the news still remains somewhat asinine because the Vanguard School admitted that while the Gadsden flag didn't originally have a racial context, they've now claimed without evidence that racists had managed to hijack its meaning. And so, therefore, unlike, say, a rainbow flag, which has been hijacked from the Bible, that symbol is at least now frowned upon in the indoctrination centers. This next item is also from some video that's going viral on the web, at least for a while, taken by a man in the vicinity of the incredible fires in Lahaina on the island of Maui.
Good luck. Look at this. Holy shit, this is a nightmare. I don't know where he's going, probably to block our street. They're gonna fucking barbecue all these people down in Lahaina. We're all trapped down in here. They're blocking off all exits. And everyone is just stuck. Going in a circle in a fire pit.
Well, that turned out to be pretty prophetic. And while more and more Americans continue to wake up to the fact that they really do intend to kill as many people as possible, the economic data also pretty much tells the same story. From Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden, another data point, another major downward revision, add second quarter GDP to the list of economic so-called data that's been revised sharply lower by the Biden-Fuhrer regime. They've been busy after slashing jobs, jolts, new home sales, housing starts, permits, and industrial production. Moments ago, the regime took its machete to second quarter GDP, which in the first revision of the so-called data was just cut to 2.1%, actually 2.07% to be specific, down from an initial red-hot 2.4%, which turned out to be nothing more than overzealous political activism and Excel adjustments, and well below the consensus estimate to boot. If they keep on revising the numbers towards the actual figures, folks, pretty soon they won't have an excuse for keeping rates high. This is cute, too. The revision, according to the BEA, which in this case stands for the Biden Economic Alteration Committee, quote, reflected a smaller decrease in inventory investment and an acceleration in business investment. These movements were partly offset by a downturn in exports and decelerations in consumer spending and federal government spending. Imports turned down. In short, they say everything was uglier. And next, concludes Zero Hedge, we wait for the Atlanta Fed to slash their third quarter GDP now estimate from 5.9% to, say, 1%. Because at this rate, the second quarter final GDP revision next month will print well below 2%. One thing is up, though, and everybody knows it, food price inflation. And a classic move by those on the left, says another story from Zero Hedge, including Democrats, socialists, and everyone else in between with seemingly no grasp of what actually sparks inflation, championed by the Biden-Fuhrer regime's move in 2021 to increase food stamp spending by the biggest amount in history, hiking benefits an average 27%. Well, now findings from a government watchdog called the Foundation for Government Accountability, or FGA, previewed by Fox News, show that the administration's massive expansion of food stamp benefits could be responsible for a 15% spike in grocery store prices, which are already exploding, folks, for a lot of other reasons besides. From the war on diesel and exploding food processing facilities, to plain old money printing without limit. The FGA said that the Biden-Fuhrer regime's rush to increase SNAP benefits in what they called an unlawful expansion, bypassing Congress, will cost taxpayers $250 billion over the next decade and has heavily contributed to soaring grocery prices. The story concludes with a little poster here of a person saying, hey, you know what? Bidenomics has made me stronger. I can now carry $70 in groceries with just my little pinky. There's a picture of a little bag with a couple of cartons of eggs in it. And not much else. Here's another sign of the times. Maybe reality is rearing its ugly head. Another piece from Zero Hedge says the world's largest offshore wind farm maker has crashed, the most on record, after catastrophic results. The shares of Copenhagen trading Ørsted AS were hit with a massive 16 billion Danish kroner, or $2.3 billion impairment, on its U.S. portfolio due to snarled supply chains, soaring interest rates, and easy money tax credits that are now drying up, all of which they say is a warning sign that the green energy revolution bubble is in trouble. Said the CEO to investors in a conference call, the situation in U.S. offshore wind is severe. And as a result, the Denmark green energy giant crashed a full quarter, 25%, the largest daily decline since it went public back in 2016. One more on the same subject with the same point. Redfin's latest report reveals that skyrocketing mortgage rates, the highest in 20 years, have now dramatically eroded the purchasing power of home buyers over the past 18 months. A home buyer on a $3,000 a month budget can now only afford a $429,000 home, given 30-year fixed interest payments of around 7.3%, and that buyer lost $71,000 in purchasing power since August 2022, when they could have had a $500,000 home with a 5.5% rate. But in December 2020, while the COVID pandemic was still destroying the economy, that same buyer could have had a $629,000 home to be locked up in. Before we wrap things up today, I want to take a brief look back, call it a retrospective of the America Under Judgment update, to see where we've come over the summer. These next stories are dated June 2nd of this year, 2023. And this seems like a good way to begin, courtesy of Paul Joseph Watson and Summit News. And he's got the full rainbow-colored graphic. The U.S. Air Force has received backlash. There's a shocker, but it may be the only good news in this. The Air Force has received backlash, he says, after tweeting out an image showing a soldier saluting, no, not an American flag, we don't give a damn about that anymore, instead an LGBTQ plus flag to celebrate June as Pride Month. The image shows a silhouetted individual throwing up a salute, along with the multicolored rainbow flag of perversion writ large, and the Air Force seal. The graphic sure makes it look like he, she, she, it, they are saluting the Pride flag. While the gender of the individual isn't clear, says Watson, it's clearly a depiction of a uniformed service member, and the caption reads, June is hashtag Pride Month! Exclamation point. The Department of the Air Force proudly recognizes and celebrates generations of LGBTQ plus service members and their contributions and their perversions, it would seem, when it comes to the Air Force and Space Force, unquote, and the Air Force Global Strike Command, that wasn't good enough for them, I guess, they responded to that tweet and wrote, in addition, quote, our diversity is our competitive advantage, unquote. And I guess you could add, yeah, screw the defense of the United States, your borders, your family's welfare, and everything that this nation and its great armed services once stood for, once even risked their lives to protect and defend. For over two centuries, we're throwing all of that on the trash heap of history and inviting the judgment that is so richly deserved. And if it seems like your host is a bit PO'd at that, folks, you're right. But I guess I'm not alone, because as Watson points out, a whole lot of folks were not impressed with the new perverted Air Force. Like, quote, why is the service member saluting the alphabet cult flag, wrote one. What an embarrassment, said another. And another, perhaps more appropriately, pointed out, it is illegal for a uniformed service member to salute anything but the American flag. And somebody added, this cult is actively disgracing our military. Well, no, the military seems to have done that on their own. And replacing the American flag, just like, well, they already believe that we are what they want us to be, a conquered people. Another one wrote the following, and this is probably quite apropos, folks. My father served 25 years in the United States Air Force and retired as a colonel. He's rolling over in his grave at Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery. This wouldn't have happened on his watch. Well, it certainly happened under the Biden-Fuhrer, Marxist Milley, and Lloyd Austin. Here's what I guess I'll call a related item via DailyFetch.com and Jason Walsh. Joe Biden, you know, the fake president, is set to host what's being called the White House's largest pride celebration in history. While Americans struggle to pay for groceries and mortgage payments, not to mention energy, as Bidenflation continues to soar, and yes, literally tons of artillery rounds and other defense munitions that aren't going to be used to defend the southern border, along with billions upon billions of newly printed fake bucks, are being sent to Ukraine instead. But now there are reports that lots and lots of mothballed airplanes that were once put aside for the defense of the United States against a real enemy are instead being taken out of mothballs at tremendous cost to the American taxpayer, or at least in terms of newly printed fiat bucks, at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson and being shipped to, you can guess, can't you, the same place, the hellhole and the front lines of World War III in Ukraine. But some of them are going to the other front lines, real soon now, in the Philippines, say sources of people like John Moore. But back to this abomination. In an announcement, the Biden-Fuhrer and the White Whorehouse said that the LGBTQ plus pride celebration being hosted by the fake commander-in-chief will be the largest of its kind in history. And you know what, folks? I can't help but think that if they really get their way, it may very well be the last such as well. And he's also set to announce new measures aimed at pushing perversion or transgenderism and other progressive anti-scriptural ideology. Reuters reported that Thursday's event is being billed as a celebration of, quote, LGBTQ plus families, and will see performances from people you've never heard of, like singer Betty Who and DJ Queen HD. Breitbart added that the event will also focus on what are being called by the White Whorehouse book bans, implemented in parts of the United States, parts of the country where perversion doesn't trump anything else, while the Biden-Fuhrer's Department of Negative Education is also going to announce the appointment of a new special coordinator who will be tasked with tackling the perceived problem. And you know what that means, don't you? They'll tackle it with the equivalent of tactical nukes. As they continue with the real book burning, disinformation throttling, and destruction of what's left of the First Amendment. Said one Biden regime spokeslayer referring to the announcement, quote, across the country, our nation is facing a spike in book bans. They could care less, folks, about the spike in complete shutdown of actual alternatives to the official narrative. And, said the quote, these efforts disproportionately target the LGBTQI plus community as well as communities of color. Well, unless the color is white, in which case you are dead meat. Back to the quote, these aren't just attacks on the rights of LGBTQI plus Americans. They're part and parcel of a coordinated attack on, say it with me, folks, our democracy, as opposed to the republic that the Constitution once guaranteed to every once free state. Obviously, whether we figured it out yet or not, the eventual book bans include other things like the Constitution and Declaration of Independence. And in case you don't know what the liars are talking about here, the so-called bans, says the author helpfully, have become a major weapon for anti-scriptural, anti-constitutional progressives, both in the United States and in other parts of the Greater Babylon metro area, to combat things like scripture and parental authority. And some of them have even figured out what's going on and have tried to fight back, with the result that in at least a few cases, local school boards and even some states have decided to pull certain perversions from the children's sections of bookstores and school libraries, and so the oh-so-tolerant left calls that a hate crime and book burnings. However, campaigners claim that the books often contain extremely graphic content, anti-scriptural imagery, and other things that some parents, those who are being sidelined, demonized, and soon sent off to the gulags, may find unsuitable for their children, with the books themselves often remaining available in different parts of the library, in spite allegedly having been banned. One protester summarized what's going on this way. The age bracket they're aiming it at is wrong. They're putting them into libraries. They're not telling the parents. I have five children, said this fellow. I want my children to grow up and read the right textbooks in school, he added, claiming that topics like blowjobs and anal fisting just shouldn't be present in such books. Remember, though, the books that are really being banned include titles like the Bible. Here next, at least a couple of comments, a bit late to the party, perhaps, but still worth hearing about, from Ben Shapiro. The heart of pride, he writes for WorldNet Daily, is revolution and not equality. June 1, it begins, marks the advent of Pride Month, the most important sacrament of the American, he says, secular religious calendar. I'm going to say pagan satanic religious calendar. But still, during Pride Month, he continues, public cesspools across the nation, and he didn't spell that right, but I'll pronounce it correctly, teach small children the joys of anti-scriptural sexual practices and orientations that the Bible calls abomination. And yes, folks, I'm modifying the text just a bit here. Corporations plaster their stores with abominations, rainbow accoutrements of all sorts, and the replacement for the actual constitutional government, now masquerading as the FedGov of the United States, proudly proclaims its fidelity to anything other than biblical morality and ideology, especially if it's called LGBTQIA++, and that now means bestiality and other perversions too. Ideology, while the American public, for the most part, has historically been sold the bill of goods that Pride Month is not really what it seems to be, but instead is a call for tolerance of the marginalized. It's a call for tolerance of those things that the Bible says carry a death penalty, folks. And yes, this party gets right. Pride Month isn't a call for equality, but instead a call for revolution. And I think it's clear as to what and who that revolution is against. And given what we've seen happen to the rule of law since that, folks, I think it's pretty hard to deny the truth of that statement then and certainly now. Thanks for being with us. Keep paying attention, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.